This is Bigger Pockets Daily, where you learn how to invest in real estate 365 days a year. I'm your host, Tyler. The following article comes from the blog at biggerpockets.com, but you can't read the blog when you're commuting to work or getting your Airbnb ready for your next guest.
We know you've heard it before. Cash flow is getting very hard to find. There's always long-distance investing, but you may be thinking, I don't have a team, enough experience, or the market knowledge to get in. That's where you're wrong, and that's also where Rent to Retirement comes in. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest out of state with confidence. They've got single family, multifamily, new build, and syndication opportunities across multiple markets. They even have BRRRR deals with immediate equity. Rent to Retirement helps investors learn how to build a bulletproof business plan with the best investment and tax strategies around to help you reach financial freedom through real estate. There's no excuse not to get started in real estate investing when you have the right team and systems already in place. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com.
Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
Meet RentApp, the seamless, secure, free way to collect rent. Built by a team of fintech veterans behind Square and Cash App, RentApp uses ACH bank transfers to deposit funds directly into your account. You don't even need to download anything. RentApp setup is straightforward for renters, and there are no apps for landlords to download. Both get peace of mind with a digital transaction history. That means no more lost checks, managing a dozen different payment apps, or even wondering whether payment was sent. Landlords say RentApp is the most convenient way to collect rent, and we think you'll agree. RentApp, the free and easy way to collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord. Managing your finances used to be a pain. It was either useless apps or overcomplicated spreadsheets. Ugh. But now, with Monarch Money, managing your money is easier than ever. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can even collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor at no extra cost to get a joint view of all your finances. Customize your dashboard, notifications, and budgets with a tap. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show right here will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. That's monarchmoney.com/bigger for your extended 30-day free trial. What does the Supreme Court's eviction moratorium ruling mean? By Matt Meyer. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a request to block the CDC from imposing their eviction moratorium, giving the federal moratorium another month of life. The ruling came from a court split 5-4, with Justice Kavanaugh and Chief Justice John Roberts joining Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer to block the request made by real estate trade associations and landlords. The moratorium was set to expire on June 30th, but CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky imposed a final extension until July 31st. Moratoriums across states have been interpreted and carried out differently. Some states have kept evictions alive as long as certain parameters are met. Federal stimulus provided relief funds to renters and landlords across the country. Earlier in the year, Congress appropriated nearly $50 billion in rental relief. But it was reported in February that back rent could fall anywhere between $8 billion to a whopping $52 billion, and that number is probably higher now. Plus, rental assistance has had a slow start, featuring plenty of glitches. How the Supreme Court reached its decision. Unlike with traditional cases, the Supreme Court typically doesn't give reasons for rulings in emergency cases. However, Justice Kavanaugh offered us a concurring opinion, expressing his hesitancy to vote in favor of the moratorium while understanding the logic behind it. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention exceeded its existing statutory authority by issuing a nationwide eviction moratorium, wrote Justice Kavanaugh. because the CDC plans to end the moratorium in only a few weeks on July 31st, and because those few weeks will allow for additional and more orderly distribution of the congressionally appropriated rental assistance funds, I vote at this time to deny the application. In essence, his vote was cast on the basis of time. Because the moratorium has been in place since the early days of the pandemic, an extra month won't make much difference in his eyes. Furthermore, some reports indicate that as much as 15% of renters are behind in rent, amounting to roughly 11 million Americans who are in desperate need of rental assistance. Adding fuel to the fire, reports indicate a massive backlog in rental assistance, with many applications taking months to evaluate and approve. The most recent evidence comes from Oregon, where the past 6 weeks have seen $90 million in requested assistance, but only $700,000 being distributed. Justice Kavanaugh did state that, in order for the CDC to extend the moratorium past July 31st, there would need to be clear and specific congressional authorization. Otherwise, the CDC does not have the authority to keep the moratorium in place. The opposition. Four justices voted in favor of striking down the moratorium. The moratorium's initial challengers explained that the CDC shifted the pandemic's financial burdens from the nation's 30 to 40 million renters to its 10 to 11 million landlords, most of whom, like applicants, are individuals and small businesses, resulting in over $13 billion in unpaid rent per month. Because the moratorium does not cancel rent, but simply defers it, the challengers said that the CDC created an environment where the backlog of rent will never fully be repaid. In reality, they wrote, the eviction moratorium has become an instrument of economic policy rather than of disease control. Strangely enough, the CDC's supposed ability to impose a nationwide moratorium stems back to a law passed in 1944 called the Public Health Service Act. The law grants powers to the CDC that allow them to create measures to stop the spread of disease. In the CDC's view, they had the power to impose moratoriums because evictions would enable the further spread of COVID-19. Despite federal district courts contesting the CDC's actions, the Supreme Court found that given Congress's decision to briefly extend the moratorium themselves in December, that there was validity to the moratorium. In closing, despite the complications and seemingly contradictory statements, the eviction moratorium has been extended until the end of July on the federal level. What happens after the moratorium ends is yet to be known. It's highly unlikely that rental assistance will be fully distributed by the end of the month, let alone at a faster pace than now. That's today's show. We'll see you tomorrow, but in the meantime, check out the Bigger Pockets bookstore at biggerpockets.com/store. You can learn about flipping, rental properties, negotiating, note investing, and more. Most titles are available as audiobooks, too. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 24 hours.